Grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg with us as well. Getting a little MacGyver with our setups, by the way, Heather Harrington. We're going over that. Very excited. We'll see if I've screwed anything else up, but that's on the docket for the next 3 hours. We're locked and loaded.
I've enjoyed this. I have learned more about you and your home life in the last 2 weeks than of working with you for almost a year. So I've got like a little tour of the house. I get to see the kids every day, which is super exciting. And
You didn't realize that we have one room with a smaller TV that just runs Point Break 24/7. Point Break's always on in that particular room.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
It's so wild and very creative, I might add. I don't know
why
you chose Point Break.
I am an FBI agent. So, that's a staple here in the Ward House.
Very cool. Very cool. I will say, if I can just figure out, they left me with a lot of cable here, our chief engineer. If I can figure out how to unroll it and set up outside on the deck, this weather we are having, amazing. I'm so thankful because it is just gorgeous. I just did a nice little walk around the house trying to get the blood flowing, get up for the show, and it worked. It was very nice.
Also, before we take a look around the sports world, we have several nuggets to get to on today's show. We'll spend a lot of time. We'll continue today talking about what we need to do to help others. We're still looking for Heroes of Health to be nominated, and you can go to our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, to do that. A salute to the parents. You and I have been discussing how the last 24 hours have gone or so. So everybody's in a different stage, but we have a teenager who's running around the house and starting to feel a little more confident in himself, and then young Max is doing well as well. So a little salute to the parents out there who are especially managing little ones here over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and shout out to all the dads that work and their wives stay at home, and maybe they had let it drop one time, like, what did you do all day? Or what do you guys do with all your time? Shout out to those dads that have come to the realization that having kids in the house really limits what you are able to get done on a day-to-day basis, because you might have a list of 10 things to do, and I feel like if you get 6 or 7 done, that is a win. I know 60% in life is usually not good, but for everything that everybody's dealing with, 60% is just fine. Live to fight another day.
We're all getting through it together right here on Sports 180. We appreciate you being with us, so let's take a look around the sports world.
Biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
Alrighty, Heather, we had an executive decision in the NBA last night. It was late last night. The Bulls are hiring Denver executive Arturas Karnatsovas to come in and run the show, and he'll be hiring a GM, but will be in charge of the basketball operations, as it has not worked with Paxson and Gar Foreman, and that's been an issue, I think, for the last few years. They've actually brought in some pretty good pieces, but as an organization, they've just really seemed to lack the leadership. So coming from an organization that I think has been really well run, perhaps this will be a good hire for the Chicago Bulls. Obviously, I have a personal investment as a fan of the Bulls, but I also, fan or not, have pointed out, I think fairly accurately, this is an organization in Chicago, top 3 or 4 city in the country,
yes,
that has appeared to be run like it's Oklahoma City or Minnesota, and I just can't figure out why. So we'll see if some better decision-making takes place in Chicago.
And I'm anxious to see, you know, whenever LeBron hangs it up, is Chicago now a contender to get somebody like an Anthony Davis? You know, I mean, could he elevate the Bulls back to that level and get some of this hometown talent that has gone other places and really has no interest in going to Chicago? I mean, this is a guy that was responsible for drafting Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris. He's been very successful in the draft, so I think this is a good hire, and it sounds like you're on board with this, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get the GM from a team where it is challenging. You can't go out and just get big-time free agents, and he has brought in really good players through the draft and has, I think, turned Denver into one of the better teams consistently in the league for the last few years. And when I say go out and get free agents, I mean like the heavy hitters like an Anthony Davis, somebody like that. Like going out and getting Paul Millsap was a nice piece. So yeah, I think it's a really good move for Chicago.
I was also really surprised that Paxson had been running the team since 2003. Like,
long time.
How did he keep his job that long? Where are the photos buried?
Well, they experienced success at different stages. In the beginning of last decade, you know, they were making a run at trying to be the best team in the East. LeBron had something to say about that. But
true.
Drafting Derrick Rose really helped in that, and he was an MVP, and then all of a sudden he gets injured and things fall apart from there. So recently it's been much worse there in Chicago, and time for a change, I would say. It looks like it's trending that Jadeveon Clowney will be looking for a change. The latest talk, the latest buzz coming out of the NFL is that Jadeveon Clowney is more likely to leave Seattle, and that means there's a little more attention in Nashville on the Titans, perhaps, getting Jadeveon Clowney. Joel Silverberg, what do you think when you hear Clowney's name being more strongly mentioned with the Titans and it seeming less likely he returns to Seattle?
Well, it's a need for Tennessee. They really need help on the pass rush, and they've addressed that a little bit with Vic Beasley Jr. already being signed earlier this offseason, so that would help you out a ton, especially since you're trying to also replace Jarrell Casey, and that's an interior defensive lineman, but with so many questions being around Tennessee's front seven, that would be a pretty big acquisition, assuming Clowney can stay healthy and play at a high level as he has in the past at Seattle and Houston.
What do you think there, Heather?
I would like to see Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. I understand that there are some question marks around his effort all the time, but he is a piece that can elevate your defense. We saw him do it in Houston, saw him do it in Seattle. So I do feel like he would be a valuable piece. You just got to keep him motivated, and I feel like Mike Vrabel would have a good idea of how to do that.
I'll be curious to see how teams really feel about Tua Tagovailoa with the NFL draft taking place 2 weeks from tonight, as there's an interesting report coming out of Michael Lombardi's podcast. He is a former NFL general manager. He said on his podcast that two teams failed Tua Tagovailoa in the pre-draft physicals. He did not name the teams on his GM Shuffle podcast, but he says one of the teams is in the top 10. Not known if it's Miami, but Miami is a team that's very much being linked to Tua. Same with the L.A. Chargers, who draft one spot behind Miami right now. But he said, quote, two teams I've talked to have flunked him. They flunked him on not just the hip, it's the multitude of injuries. The risk far outweighs the reward. Said it's not just his hip, it's his ankle, it's his wrist. He broke his wrist the first day of spring ball 1 year. That would have been before his freshman season. And I think the reports were something else other than the wrist, but he said it was a wrist. There was an injury for sure. Lombardi added, they fixed it. He came back, broke it again. He's brittle. He is brittle. You can't deny it.
Man, that is brutal. If this is the Dolphins, I would not doubt that they are about to mess up this draft. Don't forget, this was also the franchise that failed Drew Brees on his physical.
How history could have been different if Drew Brees had ended up in Miami with Nick Saban instead of New Orleans with Sean Payton.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just, the Dolphins are 100% responsible of the college football hell nightmare that we are living right now with Alabama being so good. So thank you, Miami. If you mess up and not draft Tua, I would be very surprised if he is not a good pro. There's a lot of guys that have injury. Look at Carson Wentz. But, you know, some things are out of your control. And still, to get your team in a position to compete for a Super Bowl, I feel like that's what Tua is going to do.
And then speaking of all the positivity that's out there, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, he's been speaking with the Power 5 conference commissioners on a regular basis. They've been doing it daily, as you would probably imagine, behind the scenes. He said yesterday he remains concerned about, quote, whether or not we can have a full and robust fall season, and pointed out what we all know. Football revenue is vital for the athletic departments, said, quote, virtually every program is highly reliant on football revenue. As I read Heather Dinich's story from ESPN, we're making lots of contingency plans, but if you don't get the anticipated number of games in, you lose the donations, you lose the sponsorships, you lose the gate receipts, and you lose the TV. It's potentially very impactful.
Yeah, he declined to say which specific models the league is considering. But you can imagine that the Big 12, they had implemented already a 10% salary cut across the board in the conference office. I'm sure that will trickle down to the schools, as there's every business out there right now is trying to grapple with staying afloat and making sure that the money isn't going to dry up. So look for different changes like that to come. But he's right. If they don't have a certain number of games where they are going to be on TV, you're talking about a huge ripple effect and how many sports would be susceptible to either being cut or just, you know, laid off for a couple of years because of the financial impact that this would provide.
So on a lighter note, to close out the look around the sports world, we have some matchups set for the ESPN NBA Horse Tournament that's going to take place coming up on Sunday. They have first round matchups that are set. We'll tell you about those. It'll be Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. on ESPN. And then the semifinals and championship will be played April 16th from 9 to 11. Why so late? And the players will be filmed competing at their home locations on indoor or outdoor courts and compete shot for shot in the traditional horse playground game. So names that will be participating include Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks, Chris Paul of Oklahoma City, Zach LaVine of Chicago, and Tamika Catchings.
All right.
Former Lady Vol, now Hall of Famer in the Naismith Hall of Fame, will be a part of it as well. Young will take on Chauncey Billups, former NBA star. Catchings will go up against Mike Conley of the Utah Jazz. LaVine versus Paul Pierce, another former great NBA player who will be taking part as well.
Yeah, and the title sponsor, State Farm, who's helping put on this event, they're going to donate more than $200,000 in support of coronavirus response and relief. So some good coming out of a fun little competition. But I've got some thoughts on this, and whenever we really want to dive into it, I've got a question to ask you. I think we're starting to see things kind of fall into a pecking order, if you will.
Okay, we'll look at that coming up. Excited for today's show. We're going to talk to LaMarcus Thompson coming up at 12:30. Excited to have him on. Great guy, former Tennessee linebacker. Played for three different head coaches at Tennessee. He'll be our Call of All guest at 12:30. At 1:30, we'll talk to John Wilkerson, and Alan Bell of Sportsline.com will be along at 2:30 to talk a little NFL and a little NFL draft. We are with you until 3 o'clock with Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We are with you until 3 o'clock. We'll talk to former Tennessee linebacker LaMarcus Thompson coming up 10 minutes from now. We'll talk to John Wilkerson at 1:30, Alan Bell at 2:30, loaded up with the guest lineup today. A lot to talk about off the field, off the court in sports. 2 weeks to go until the NFL draft. Remember, you can check out the website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, and read all the different mock drafts that we've put out for you there on our website. And Heather, we mentioned the game of horse. Preferably, I would go with a game of 21, but I guess you can't really do that because of the whole physical social distancing thing. So going with horse, classic game in basketball. This is a bit of a turnoff to you, though. You're not too excited about horse, which will be on ESPN this upcoming Sunday?
I think we're finally getting a definitive definition of the difference in competition and sports. Like, you know how we've always asked, oh, well, this has an element of competition and athleticism to it. This is a sport. And you're like, not really. It's more like a skill competition. I think that is what we are becoming blatantly aware of. If there is nothing on the line, it's just not a sport. I'm sorry. It's just a competition. And I think that now more than ever, we are more aware of that than previously before.
Well, I think that's true. So is what you're saying then a case for, I don't know, bowling. Is that a sport then? Because something's on the line when they compete against each other, right?
there will always be like niche sports, but that might just be more for my purposes into a competition category and not a sport category.
Okay. Well, I think what you're doing is you're blurring the lines in your own conversation here.
You think I am? You don't think it's clear?
No, I don't, because like basketball is a sport, undoubtedly, right?
Yes,
undoubtedly. Nobody's gonna say it's not. But what they're going to do, the game of horse, would be a skill competition. Like they do at All-Star Weekend, they have skill competitions. Why don't they do horse, by the way? Maybe they haven't. I missed it. But so that's a skill challenge within the sport. But if you have five players, or if you did three-on-three, like that's sports, right? Like the big three that Ice Cube's brought back or started up the last couple of years, that's a sporting event, wouldn't you say, three-on-three?
Yes, yeah. Anything where you're actively, I think, running and exerting physical effort, that is definitely a sport. So I don't know where bowling fits in. I mean, to me, have at it. It's not a sport.
Where does golf fit in then? You're not running.
You're not running, but you are exerting yourself physically. If you've ever walked some of those courses, I mean, it is physical exertion, and then you have to be highly skilled. So
it's not a power walk, though, right? Is there a rate of speed that's required for your movement?
By the way,
I'm not arguing against golf. I would say golf, of course, is a sport, but in terms of some of the definitions that you're laying out here.
If you play with Brooks Koepka, you better be power walking or he's going to turn you in.
hitting that watch, yeah.
There is a pace of play, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you're out on bowling. Bowling's not a sport.
Yeah, I think I'm out. I think I've always been out, yeah, on bowling. It's a competition, for sure. It's a competition. But, like, they could put on all the bowling right now that they wanted to. They could have the world championship of bowling, and guess what? I'm probably not going to watch.
Okay, cornhole, sport or skill challenge, what would you say?
Tailgate party game.
Yeah. All right, so I think I'm getting a feel for what you're saying. Three-on-three, five-on-five basketball, that's a sport. A game of horse, you would say nay. To that being a sport.
Very good. Yes. Kudos.
I had to work it back in there somehow, didn't I? Okay. I will probably check it out. I hope that they are creative with it. The matchups, I think, even though they're not actually physically together, this horse competition, Tamika Catchings is going to be a part of it. Lady Vol, now Hall of Famer. I hope that they get somewhat creative. As we talked about, like if you're really good at dunking, Zach LaVine, dunk champ, hey, go do something wild that your opponent might not be able to do. Same with Trae Young with your shooting range. I hope they get creative instead of just, okay, let's go out to the three-point line, see if you can hit it left-handed. You don't want it to go too long, especially if they're going to be starting up late. So horse coming on Sunday, sports, please come back very soon. We will come back on Sports 180 and talk to LaMarcus Thompson, the former Tennessee linebacker. He played for Philip Fulmer. He played for Lane Kiffin. He played for Derek Dooley. We'll talk about his experience and also what he has seen from Tennessee the last couple of years with Jeremy Pruitt as the Vols head coach. Our Call of All segment with LaMarcus Thompson is coming up next right here on Sports 180. You're listening to FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, Joel Silverberg producing for us, as we will be with you until 3 o'clock. 2 hours from right now, we're going to talk to Alan Bell, Sportsline.com, and get his thoughts on the latest with the NFL 2 weeks out from the draft. Right now, we are pleased to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, and welcome to the show for our Call of All segment, former Tennessee linebacker LaMarcus Thompson. LaMarcus, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you for having me on the show.
LaMarcus, you were on a select list of VFLs who played for three different head coaches at Tennessee. You arrived in 2006 with Philip Fulmer as the head coach. You spent a year at Tennessee with Lane Kiffin. I guess I should say Lane Kiffin spent a year at Tennessee. And then your senior year was with Derek Dooley as the head coach. What was that like? All that change, all the differences that occurred over 5 years for you at Tennessee?
Yeah, it was a big roller coaster, you know. It was highly unexpected, you know. When you're getting recruited coming out of Georgia, you know, you had Philip Fulmer in your house. You know, you had a big-time, you know, legendary coach. And you get there, and everything's all good. The next thing you know, 2 years later, you know, he's gone, and a new regime comes in. And you think you start buying in and, you know, everything starts to work out. You see things start to click toward the end of the year. The next thing you know, it happens again. You know, that's probably one of the things that, you know, nobody expects to experience when they get to, you know, a major college, you know, Tennessee football program. But, you know, we kind of persevered and kind of went through it and definitely hung on. Didn't hit the transfer portal or anything of that nature. There are a lot of guys kind of stuck it out there. So that was a lot of good test to them there.
Like, if you meet somebody, LaMarcus, and they're like, oh, you played football at Tennessee. What was that like? How do you describe your experience to somebody that you're just meeting? Like, what comes up initially?
Well, I mean, the best thing is how awesome the atmosphere to play for University of Tennessee is. You can't beat, you know, 100,000+ people on the stands. That's one of the biggest reasons that I came to University of Tennessee, you know, say the ball walk or just running out the tee. That's an experience that never gets old. I don't care how many times you do it, you know, how many times you run out. It is the most exciting experience you've ever experienced in your life. So I would say it's the best time of my life.
We're talking to former Tennessee linebacker LaMarcus Thompson. Yeah, take us back to the recruiting process. You end up at Tennessee having come from the Atlanta area. What do you remember most about being recruited to Tennessee and the ultimate decision to choose to be a Vol?
It's actually a funny story. Trooper Taylor is the one that recruited me when I was coming out of Atlanta. Funny story, we had I was at the barbershop, and Philip Fulmer wanted to come to my house. I said, hey, Coach, man, I'm at the barbershop, and, you know, I'm in an area, a little rough. I want you to, you know, just meet me at the house. He said, no, man, I'll come to the barbershop, no problem at all. So he shows up at the barbershop. You know, he's the only guy that looks like him in the barbershop there. So, but he sits down. sits in the chair. He talks to everybody in that barbershop like he's known them for 30 years. That made me so comfortable with Philip Fulmer and just, you know, just at home, you know, and that's one of the biggest reasons I came to Tennessee, because Philip Fulmer, he had that presence that, you know, was, you know, unparalleled, I guess you could say.
What was it like getting on campus? You initially redshirted, then you started out kind of earning your playing time on special teams, and then ended up starting at linebacker your last couple of seasons. What was that process like? And did you ever have to battle any frustration? Like, you just felt like you should be playing more or anything like that?
Well, of course, you know, you battle that frustration when you're first coming out, because, you know, when you're in high school, you're a man, you know, you've been playing, you made all these accolades, and then you come back, you come to a big program, all of a sudden you're back at the bottom of the barrel there. So, you know, it takes a special, you know, person and perseverance to work hard, to, you know, wait your time in line, you know, get your size together, you know, get your speed up, learn the playbook. You know, it takes time, because, you know, major college football, it's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff that you have to learn there, and you have to get your body ready to play. So, you know, for the guys that do it, you know, it's a tough test, but if you stand the test of time, you'll definitely persevere.
We're talking to LaMarcus Thompson here, former Tennessee linebacker, for our Call of All segment. And LaMarcus, I have to admit something to you here. Earlier this morning, getting ready for the show and having you on, I pulled up the end of the 2010 Tennessee LSU game, the 13 men on the field play.
And then I made Heather watch it.
What do you remember about that sequence? Because I know you were one of the players involved as well.
Oh, man, that was probably one of the most frustrating times of my life. Well, what happened is LSU came out in a goal line set. So we had our goal line package in as well. Well, actually, they broke the huddle, and after they broke the huddle, they switched to a spread. Well, we had DBs running in, but we had no defensive linemen running out. So nobody was paying attention. Now, of course, you know, snap the ball overhead. They called us too many men on the field. But if you look back at it, LSU broke the huddle with 12 men. So basically, it should have been an offsetting penalty, and everything should have been, you know, as set. But, you know, it's kind of hindsight 2020 now. But it that was one of the most frustrating times of life, because you went from so high to so low so fast. You know, it just that one hurt. That was probably one of the worst, I guess, games of my career.
Do you remember anything from the locker room post-game? I mean, do you remember if Derek Dooley said anything? Because he looked sick as a dog in post-game press conferences. I mean, what stood out to you about that locker room after that game?
The silence. That's what stood out. I mean, nobody was, you know, normally after a game, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, even if you lose the game, everybody's still kind of talking to each other. You know, I mean, hey, we could have done this better. We could have done that better. It was absolute dead silence. Nobody said anything from the time we left the locker room, we got on the bus, to the airplane, till we got back. It was just one of those games where it just you just couldn't believe what just happened. And you just had one that just got taken away from you.
LaMarcus Thompson is on Sports 180 with us, and of course there's been a number of changes since then, LaMarcus. I'm curious, what do you think about what you've seen the last two seasons with Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach, what you've seen on the field and then maybe behind the scenes recruiting, all that goes into what he's trying to do in building Tennessee's football program?
Man, I'm excited what Jeremy Pruitt's doing. He is doing an amazing job of taking what he, you know, the situation that he got put into, and he's changing it into chicken salad there. You know, going from, you know, guys buying into his program, you can see that on the field. Like last year, you know, you can see the perseverance. You know, you kind of started out a little rough. You started out a little rough, but he did not lose that team. You know what I mean? If anything, they rallied behind them. You know, that defense got together, that offense put it all together. And all of a sudden, you know, you had an 8-win season. So I'm super excited to see, you know, what those guys do, you know, with a, you know, another year on the belt. His recruiting is doing amazing. You see he's getting up the players that we need and the positions that we need. I'm kind of excited to see the quarterback battle this year. You know, you got a lot of guys. That's probably the most competition at quarterback for the past couple of years there. So I'm super, super, super excited to see what happens this year.
Well, and I know you probably watch games being a former Tennessee football player a little differently than even how just normal fans watch the game. So are you watching or did you watch this past season specifically Henry Toatoa, and were you impressed with him, and did you ever have to remind yourself, oh yeah, that guy's a true freshman?
Yeah, he's gonna be something special, man. I just see how far he's come with the game in just one season, from his first game to his last game. You can see the reads that he's making. He's not making those false steps or things of that nature. It's just amazing how much he has grown just over the course of one season. So I'm excited to see what he does. He's going to be probably one of the best players, I want to say, in the SEC, if not all of college football, in the defensive position.
Yeah, what stands out about what you see from the defensive side of the ball with Jeremy Pruitt? He, of course, has so much success coaching that side, and they took big steps in year two. Why do you think that was the case, and what stands out about what Jeremy Pruitt does defensively?
Well, he has a very good scheme. You know, he knows how to read offenses and basically put the guys in the best positions there. All the guys had to do was buy into what he was teaching. And you can see that start to happen to where, you know, they're learning the program, they're learning everything. Because when you get into a new defense, because they've been switching defenses so often, they're starting to learn to where you got some younger guys out there and they're getting what's going on. They're understanding the concepts. That's your big thing now in on the defensive side. You got to understand concepts, alignment, and assignment. That's another big thing. You know, if you're out of line, you know, that two-yard play will end up as a touchdown there. So they're starting to learn their alignments and assignments, which just is a test to the coaching staff getting those young guys ready to play some football.
Is there anything you miss, LaMarcus, because you've been out of football for a while now? As all of us have been out of college for a while, but is there anything you miss about being a student athlete at the University of Tennessee? And you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have taken that for granted back when I was in college.
Probably the biggest thing that I miss is just the fans. You know, Tennessee football fans, they're probably some of the best fans out there in America there. You know, if you're out there playing well, you know, you're pretty much, you can basically write your own ticket around here basically. So, you know, I do miss the fans and how they react to you after games, you know, autographs, pictures, things of that nature, how so much love they show you. So it's just an awesome experience.
Well, and LaMarcus Thompson with us, you mentioned around here. You have stayed in the area. If you will, catch Tennessee fans up on what you're doing these days.
Yeah. Like I said, I went to the NFL for a little bit there with Atlanta there. Like, I got out of there for about 1 year, and then basically came back to the area, got into finance in the car industry there. So I'm working at Airport Honda as a finance manager there. So if anybody's looking for automobile, that's where I'm at there. But yeah, like I said, it's been good to me. And the one I always say, the biggest reason to come back to East Tennessee is it doesn't hurt to be a Tennessee football player in East Tennessee. So that's one of the biggest reasons I stay around here, just because it's always about, you know, kind of who you know, not what you know sometimes there. So that's one of the biggest reasons I stayed around here.
Yeah, that's why they encouraged you to network when you were in college. I mean, there's a reason
that's
for all that,
right? That's right. I remember Philip Fulmer saying, hey, this TE is going to go a lot farther than just football. Watch what I tell you. And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, why was that important to you, LaMarcus, to make sure that you did that, that you took advantage of the opportunities that you would receive as not only a football player, but as a student athlete at the University of Tennessee?
Well, I mean, you know, basically you want to, like I said, make those networking, you know, make yourself have a good name at the University of Tennessee, because, you know, when you go from transitioning from a student athlete to the professional world, you know, everybody doesn't make millions in the NFL all the time there. So you do have to, you know, make those connections there so you can, you know, have a good life after football, you know, sustain a family, things of that nature there. So that's one of those big things that was important to me to, you know, make sure I had a good name at the University of Tennessee. Make sure, you know, people, hey, they remember you as a good guy. You know what I mean? A good guy that was a hard worker. So when you do getting out to that professional world, you know, they know your resume already without them having to meet you. You know what I mean?
Now, are you officially missing sports as of right now, LaMarcus? And do you have a prediction on if we're actually going to get football in 2020?
Man, I hope so. I think the whole South is going to riot if we don't have college football next season there. But I think that, you know, everything would pass eventually, and we'll hopefully get a little college football. If anything, it might get delayed. But, you know, I just pray that we do have college football, because I'm excited and looking forward to it, because I'm basically scratching myself there because I can't watch any sports there. It's ESPN showing, you know, little things happening at the house with people shooting their basketball in the backyard there. So.
Yeah. Are you gonna watch the horse on the horse competition on Sunday on ESPN?
I plan to. Trust me, that's the only sports I can get, so I will be front row.
Yeah. Everybody's hungry. You're right. You talk about that. We're in the same boat for sure, hoping football season is back this upcoming fall. LaMarcus, it's great to have you on the show. Hopefully we can do it again, but congratulations on everything you've done post your playing career, and it's great to have you on the show today. We appreciate the time.
I appreciate you, buddy.
LaMarcus Thompson, former Tennessee linebacker. Love the Philip Fulmer story from recruiting as well, and appreciate what LaMarcus said about the time at Tennessee, but also taking advantage of the opportunities. He's definitely done that.
The only thing that could have made that Philip Fulmer story recruiting in the barbershop even better is if John Chavis would have walked in right behind him in his cowboy boots, because John always had his cowboy boots on. So I could just picture both of them sitting there. They could talk to anybody. I mean, you know, that was the gift that Coach Fulmer had. Still has it. Very charming guy. You can tell why he's such a great recruiter.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think why a lot of people are really confident with Philip Fulmer as the athletic director at Tennessee as well. We are going to come back here on Sports 180 and hit the face-off. Joel Silverberg sets us up there. We are with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us this afternoon on Sports 180. Thanks again to LaMarcus Thompson for joining us last segment for our Call of All discussion. Really enjoyed talking to him about his time at Tennessee. Some good stories. Appreciate him letting us bring up some of the frustrating times as well, but also what he had to say about the Jeremy Pruitt era.
Yeah, and I liked his comments on what Jeremy Pruitt is building and how he can just tell things are different right now, and the improvement that the team made from week one last year to the end of the season. And the fact I'm glad he brought it up too, because the fact that team didn't quit when they got punched in the face just right off the bat in the first couple of weeks of the season, and they were able to rally and finish the year like they did, I mean, that stands out. And the fact that former Vols are noticing that and are proud of it, I think it speaks volumes.
Yeah, you want to talk about a pivotal time. It was there after a couple of games and then four or five games for Tennessee football, and the way that the Vols responded has absolutely changed the conversation in a positive manner this offseason heading into 2020. And we'll talk more offseason talk. We'll talk about the NFL draft a little bit later in the show as well. John Wilkerson will stop by at 1:30. Right now, we need to hit the face-off.
Do you want some? Come get some.
Head to head, toe to toe. Let's go one on one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Alrighty, Joel, what do you have for us today?
Apologies in advance for this pronunciation, but are the Bulls making a good hire with Denver's Arturas Kornosovas?
I think that was really well done, Joel, and I would say yes. I think it's a really good hire. A guy that has been running an NBA organization as the general manager, at least, with the Nuggets, and has helped bring in really good players. His evaluations have been really good, and if that continues in Chicago with the bigger budget that should be there, they should have more success.
Yeah, the fact that the Denver Nuggets were able to draft guys like Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic and be contenders in the West. Now, I think they definitely have a ceiling, but the fact that they have been in the playoffs, I think this is a really good sign for the Chicago Bulls, and I think they're going to get a lot of bang for their buck.
Should we do away with handshaking permanently as suggested earlier today?
It seems wild that we would even consider this, but in the day of all these germs, you know, how many times are we going to deal with something like this? I don't think this is going to become the new norm where you're dealing with this super bug all the time. So I'm going to say I think that that's a little over extreme, but I really don't shake hands that much with people on a daily basis anyway. So keep the handshake and just do it sparingly.
I'll say we do away with the handshake, and we go more to not the chest bump, but the shoulder bump. So you do a quick, short running jump start into the shoulder, that or the fist pound. My fear is that violence will rise again because the handshake was created to confirm that the other person did not have a weapon. Now that would remain a question.
Oh, we've got them.
What do you think of Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews going public with complaints of payments being due from the LA Rams?
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's that big of a deal. What I would say is if you really do have a complaint and you do have a concern, call your agent. Have your agent take care of it. Just don't go on Twitter. Now, Todd Gurley's doing a lot of good and trying to give back to the community during all that's going on right now. It's just keep that in-house. That's not a good look publicly.
Yeah, when I first read it, I was like, oh my gosh, are the Rams like overextended? Are they not going to be able to pay their bills? But then I thought, this is probably just some sort of, error on their part, and not that they don't have the money to cover it. I thought it was a little bush league of those guys to go on Twitter and say that. But yeah, I think that you gave good advice. Call your agent, have them iron it out. Like, where's my money?
Today is National Unicorn Day. Who is the biggest unicorn athlete in sports?
Is this for like our lifetime or just right now? I think if you're saying just right now, there's two contenders, and it would be Tiger Woods, and that's still relevant with him winning the Masters last year, or it's LeBron James. I mean, how are these guys still doing what they do and the age that they are? I would put them as one and two.
Yeah, I was between LeBron and Giannis. And Giannis, I still think, like, there are questions about being able to get the COVID-19 test and all that stuff. We need to figure out an alien test to figure out, is he really a human being or did he come from another planet? Because I can't explain. So with that being the question, I'm going to go with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You would have Julio Jones in that category, I think, as well. If you could,
was my top NFL pick, actually, yeah.
There you go. If you could have any player in the NBA represent you in a game of horse, who would you pick?
This goes back to a pre-show discussion, Heather. I would actually go with LeBron, and people are going to say, oh, he's just, what a big LeBron honk here. Here's the reason. You're not going to really be able to beat him out if you go to creative dunking, but he can also still, I think, knock down some pretty tough shots. He's not the best shooter in the league, not even close to being that. But we've seen him this year pulling up from 30 feet. So I would go with LeBron with the versatility.
I'm going to go with Kawhi for the same reasons. It's the versatility, and you're going to get the trash talk factor of Boardman gets paid every time he puts a letter on you. So give me Kawhi all day, every day.
All right, Josh gets the win.
Boardman gets paid.
Boardman gets paid. People like, you're a ho. Boardman gets paid.
Game of Horse coming up on ESPN on Sunday. I'll be curious to see what the ratings are because I really do think a lot of people will tune in just because you're looking for competition. You're looking for something sports related, even if it's more of just a skills challenge. And it's going to have some big names. I mean, you do have Chris Paul, Paul Pierce, Tamika Catchings that are going to be a part of it. So players that you know, Trae Young is a really popular player. He's going to be taking part.
If dunking was not part, like if they just had a rule in there that you dunking doesn't matter, I'm definitely going with Steph Curry.
Trae Young has already tweeted at Zach LaVine saying dunking shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, he totally said that with the laughing emojis.
Look, if you agree to the game, you agree to the game. But that's my move. If I'm Zach LaVine and I go up against somebody like Trae Young, it's nothing but between the legs dunks. So if you're Trae, you better get out front and go first in that one. So I'll take the win there in the face-off. And you know, from that aspect, I'll be curious to check it out and just see what they do. Also, you know how it's shot because they're not together. So you've got one guy at his own home court versus the other. So. They've got the production quality. I'm sure they can figure that part out. No problem.
Yeah. Are they going to be doing, is this a Zoom? Is this a Zoom game of horse?
I don't know. Is ESPN sending out camera crews for every player? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I didn't notice that part. That's becoming an NFL draft topic is they're like, okay, you're not allowed in the facilities, but we need IT specialists to be able to come out to our house to set up all the IT gear that we need. And they're like, well, you can't do that because you're supposed to be social distancing. So I don't know how many like camera crews ESPN can send out. Maybe they just sent them little cameras and they're like, hey, set this up like this. And they've been testing it or something. Who knows?
Yeah, they're going with, I think, Microsoft software. They're not using Zoom, partly because of the hacking concerns. Also, I think they have a partnership with Microsoft, so it would make more sense there. But no Zoom for the NFL draft. I can't wait to see if that actually works out or if you have some coach. Like there's the discussion, who's most likely to leave the mute button off versus who won't be able to figure out how to unmute so they can make their selection.
Make their pick.
That's right. Let's hope. Let's cross our fingers for some kind of technological disaster with the NFL draft in 2 weeks. It's going to be our only opportunity. Let's also hope this is the only time they need to do it that way. We will come back with 2 hours of Sports 180. Coming up, Tom Brady talking about the success he had with Bill Belichick. Does one deserve more credit than the other? What Tom Brady had to say to Howard Stern, coming up right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.